Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, April 4th. I'm Ray Graff. Springtime is a time often, if you own a home, where you may look around and take stock at the property, and maybe you start that improvement project. And maybe you've done that, and then you realize, oh, a little ways in, that you're in over your head. A very common problem when you're doing your own projects. Well, we have a guy here who may be able to help you through all that. It's Darren Tracy, a licensed professional engineer and construction specialist. Darren is here to answer your questions about home repair and maintenance today. To join our conversation, call 1-800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Darren Tracy's here. Your calls right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Every so often on this program, we talk home maintenance, repair, and improvement. And when we do that, we welcome back Darren Tracy. Darren is a licensed professional engineer with extensive experience in construction, renovation, and property management. Darren is a Building Performance Institute certified building analyst and a licensed master plumber. He runs the West Branch Engineering Consulting and Construction Firm, which specializes in unique projects, and he is a director of the Capital District Chapter of the New York State Society of Professional Engineers. To join our discussion today, if you have a question, is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You may also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Darren Tracy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Ray.
And as we begin your segments here on this program, the last few anyway, you have started with a topic of safety.
Right. I think it's important to, as a matter of public service, to bring to the attention to listeners that safety is really important in all these homeowner activities.
Yeah.
Particularly this type of year. We've been in winter inside all year long, due to a long winter, and we want to get out and about and make some of these home improvements.
Sure.
And so I'd just like to caution to be safe on ladders. I've said that several times in this program, but that's one of the main ways that people get hurt.
Yeah.
Even on a small step stool or standing on a chair, if you have that thought where this is not the right thing to do, don't do it.
Yeah.
Take the extra 30 seconds and go get a ladder. The other subject matter I wanted to note was to be careful when you are repainting. Often in the spring, it'll be time to repaint inside or out. And any house that was built before 1978 probably had lead paint mm-hmm. in it. And if you're hiring a contractor, they are required to be certified by the EPA for lead safety for any project over something like 6 square feet on the inside. If any surface area greater than 6 square feet is disturbed, then they should be certified by the EPA. Mm-hmm. And on the outside, it's something like 20 square feet. So
right.
small numbers. Not everybody is. There's so many regulations that you need to follow with the government, especially small startup companies. But the takeaway on that is to be careful around lead paint, particularly with kids. Lead affects young children more than adults. And if you're a homeowner undertaking window replacement or scraping and painting, you can do that yourself, but you want to use a respirator, an N100 type respirator,
mm-hmm.
and you want to put some plastic down either inside or out to gather up the paint chips from any scraping. You want to seal off the rest of the house with plastic. You want to minimize the amount of dust you would make by sanding. You don't want to use an open flame to heat up the paint to scrape it off. A lot of these things are common sense type measures to take.
Yeah.
I like to use a fan and blow air from inside and open a window and create a negative pressure.
Yeah.
And that gets rid of a lot of the dust inside. So, that's my notice
about
safety today.
Darren Tracy is our guest, and our number here on this home maintenance, repair, and improvement edition of Vox Pop is 800-348-2551. And let's go to the phones. Magenta in Phoenicia is on.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I hope this isn't off topic. It doesn't seem so to me, but and it does have to do with a home repair, but it takes a little explanation first.
Okay.
I have suffered from what I would call an invasion of probably voles. And the reason I say that is because there were, especially earlier in the season, earlier in the winter, tunnels dug, small holes in all kinds of areas around the house. I live in an old cabin. And I have found in the most astonishing places rather large collections of seeds from the large white pine cones. I'm surrounded by tall virgin white pines here, and there was an especially heavy crop this year. I have found them from one night to another inside my purse, inside my cell phone container, in a drawer, a high drawer on a bureau that was full of a box with scarves in it. It's just unimaginable. There is no scat involved in this. From what I've read online, when there are mice, I catch those, and it's clear that they're around because there's mouse poop. In these cases, there is nothing like that.
Hmm. Sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah, right. Not fun. And I don't know what diseases they carry, if anything, like the white mice around here, but it's really not fun. And from reading online, that's what makes me think that they're voles. So my question is, as a renter, what might be done? Apparently, they can get in, they burrow underground and then get in, like, there's a bluestone foundation here and then the rib joist or whatever it is. Seems to me that insulating the rim joist on the outer, or putting something between the top of the foundation and the bottom of the house would be good, but apparently they chew through just about anything, so like foam insulation or something there doesn't make any sense. Do you have any ideas for what can be done to deter them from coming in?
Well, that's a good first call. What do you think, Darren?
It's really out of my area of expertise. It's surprising that there are voles inside a home. I've never heard of that before. I mean, we have tons of them at our house.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. I can't quite hear very well. Sorry.
This is really out of my area of expertise, so I'm not going to be able to help you. I find it surprising that you have voles inside your home. I've never heard of that before.
Can you think of something else that would be doing that? Somebody said mice, but I know it's not mice because they don't get into these. They haven't gotten into these kinds of places, and there's no mouse poop involved.
This is amazing.
They could be doing their business someplace else. Sealing up small little holes around the foundation, around the rim joists, as you mentioned, that's the best advice I could have, and that could help you keep out ants as well, and mice and other critters, snakes and insects, and also will help air seal your home. Beyond that, I can't really help you. I did listen to a gardening show here not too long
ago.
They
love to talk about voles.
Yeah, they were talking about voles, and I recall they were talking about trapping them in the fall, spending quite a bit of time trapping
mouse
them.
Mouse traps, believe it or not.
Yeah, mouse traps.
I don't know. I mean, that's a good idea.
Around the foundation, around where you inside the foundation, where you think that they're appearing inside the house.
It's a real good idea that you call in, even though it's not a gardening question. When the gardeners are on next month, give them a call, and they might have an idea or two.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
A lot for the call. How about that one, Darren?
It's interesting.
Interesting way to start the program. Our number is 800-348-2551. Let's get another call before the first break. Mick in Red Hook. Mick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a patio that I've been putting those temporary awnings on for the longest time, and I finally decided that I wanted to make a more permanent roof up, and it extends about 23 feet from my house. So I was wondering, if I were to do that from the house out to the edge of the patio, could I do that with a 2x12 to hold up the roof without putting a support in the middle, or would I need to do a support?
I would have to check that to be certain, but from my experience, I would say no. 23 feet is a long span. Even if you space the rafters close together at 16 inches on center or even 12 inches on center, I would say no. You would need a beam mid-span to shorten up that span distance, or something heavier. But a beam mid-span would be the most practical way to go.
Okay.
If you want to contact me after the show, I can verify that because I have a software program that checks that.
Oh, that's nice. And what is your email address?
It's Darren@westbranchinc.com. Darren at westbranchinc.com.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mick. We appreciate the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We'll take a quick break here. First one of the program and be back.
Support for WMC comes from Waterwheel Village, Galway, New York, a country store since 1923, offering aged cheddar cheeses, nostalgic candies, New York products and gifts. WaterwheelVillage.com. Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing assisted living, transitional care, rehabilitation therapy, and respite long-term and palliative care for seniors. DaughtersofSarah.org. Capital Roots, making fresh local produce accessible to Capital Region neighborhoods. Healthy, affordable food should be a right, not a privilege. To learn more, capitalroots.org. The Albany Pine Bush Preserve, presenting their Earth Day event with volunteer conservation projects for children, adults, and community groups, Saturday, April 21st from 9 to noon, albanypinebush.org. And the Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio, presenting a Coen Brothers film each month, featuring Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Sunday, April 8th, at 2, 4:30, and 7 p.m. TheLinda.org for more information.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you, 20 minutes after 2 o'clock here on a Wednesday afternoon. Today we talk home maintenance, repair, and improvement, and Darren Tracy is here to answer your questions. And let's go to David in Chatham. David, you're on.
Hi. Do you know any way to clean gutters from the bottom up? I've got gutters that are high up in a bad place. It's hard to get a ladder there. I've tried using electrician's fish tape from the bottom, but then there's that offset angle that it just can't make that turn. So it'd be great if there's some way to do it from the bottom. Any thoughts?
Are you speaking of the gutter or the downspout? When you say offset turn, I'm thinking of the pipe that leads down.
Well, yes,
from the...
it's at the downspout where the gutter itself comes down and is offset a little bit to hug the house.
Not from the bottom, really. You could try putting a vacuum cleaner suction around that, and then the area between the suction port of your vacuum cleaner and the downspout, you could plug that with plastic or your hands or a mitten or something like that. It may suck it. When you first said gutters, one trick is to use a garden hole hose on an extension on a pole, and raise that up, and it shoots the water into the gutter, and that can help flush out debris from the gutters without actually climbing up on the gutter.
Okay, those are two good ideas. I like the first one, the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, careful if you're climbing up there with a ladder.
Yeah, I think that's what he wants to avoid, yeah. All right, David, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. The email address here is voxpop@wamc.org. And let's see, who's been waiting longest? Let's go to Reed in North Greenbush. Reed.
Hi. I own three properties in North Greenbush, and they used to have well water, but now I'm on city water.
Okay.
I still have these wells. One's 500 feet to a shallow well that's 22 feet.
Okay.
Could I devise some sort of heat pump exchange and heat my houses, facilitating these wells?
You might be able to with the 500-foot well, but I really think you need more lineal footage to get enough BTUs.
I'm trying to figure out what exactly how he would do this.
Well, use a ground source heat pump where you take a pipe and you run it down the well 200 feet. They're usually deeper than that. And down at the bottom, there's a return and it comes back up. So in the summer, it picks up the temperature of that cool ground, which might be 45 or 50 degrees, and then pumps it back to your house and goes through a heat exchanger and utilizes that cool groundwater temperature. And just the loop keeps going. But I think for all the BTUs you need a lot more than just one well at 500 feet deep.
But he has three wells.
The others were 22 shallow wells, 22 feet deep.
Yeah, well, there's three houses, so there's three different wells.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, if you had a pond, you can also use that same type of methodology with a pond. Instead of going deep into a well, you can put coils of pipe into a pond, lay them down at the bottom, and that's another way to pick up some of the heat transfer.
Oh, terrific.
Okay, so the answer would be it's not really feasible.
Not practical, no. You wouldn't pick up enough BTU heat transfer in just one well to make that work.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Reed. Our number is 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy is our guest, and Bill in Fort Ann is next. Bill.
Yes, I was listening to the lady that had the so-called vole problem.
Yes.
I'm a biologist. Not necessarily a mammalogist, but I do know something about mammals, small mammals. Mm-hmm. And in my house this winter, I've had to trap a whole bunch of, I've caught 9 or 10 white-footed mice in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I suggest that these are probably mice.
Okay.
Voles basically spend most of their time, if not all of their time, out in grassy fields.
Yeah.
I don't think they tend to come into houses much.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like a reasonable assumption.
So, basically, mice are really the problem in houses. I set snap traps for them, bait them with peanut butter, and I've had pretty good success catching most of them. So, I think she could set some snap traps and probably get rid of most of them that way.
That reminds me of a Facebook post that I saw not too long ago from a classmate from high school. He's a specialist on mice.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a biologist or whatever, but he wrote down about 5 paragraphs about how smart mice are and how you have to trap them in multiple ways. They will quickly learn how to jump over one trap to get another. And all these little fine tidbit details on how to trap mice.
Oh, very interesting. Well, thanks.
I found that they usually can't resist peanut butter with a little salt added into the peanut butter for bait. Oh. They usually can't resist that.
Well, Bill, thanks a lot for the call and your expertise. We appreciate it. It's Vox Pop on WAMC and Pamela in Poughkeepsie. Pamela, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is also relevant to the lady with the vole/mice problem.
Yeah.
She said she's a renter, so her landlord or the health department should help her at all, you know?
I think that makes a point, too.
Yeah, it does. And
absolutely. No question if she's a renter, because I've been through it. So call the health department if the landlord won't take care of it.
Or,
and the gentleman that you just spoke to who's got a couple houses, if he's renting them, would you give him my number?
We can't do that over the air, but maybe we can hook you up through email.
And in a more natural way of taking care of the vole problem would be to maybe adopt a cat from the Humane Society.
Oh, okay.
And, they're a pretty good natural way to take care of those little critters.
Yeah, I have a cat, but she's just beyond that point. She likes just to lay around.
She watches them, yeah. All right, I know that one. Pamela, thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. You see, you get on one topic, and then it becomes the show.
That's okay.
It's a phenomenon on Vox Pop.
Yeah, I mean, often there are plumbing topics,
so it's
nice to have something else to speak about.
Now, you mentioned plumbing. We'll get a bunch of plumbing calls, so it's on you. Jim in North Pownell. Jim, you're on.
Hey, I have a suggestion for the guy with the clogged up gutters.
Oh, yeah.
in addition to the excellent hint about the hose on the end of a long pole,
yeah,
a plumber's snake could go up through the downspout and clear out any debris that's stuck in the downspout.
I was thinking the same thing, Jim. I just didn't know if it would be possible.
Now, Jim, tell me the difference. What's the difference between an electrician's snake and a plumber's snake? I know, but I just... I'm asking.
A plumber's snake is just a spring-loaded, like a 20-foot wire that has a crank on the end of it, and you can send it through any kind of piping and clear out debris that's in the piping.
The answer I'm looking for is that it has a helical twist on the end of it, whereas just an electrical snake is just a piece of wire with a loop on the end where you can attach another wire.
Right, a plumber's snake has a helical twist.
Yeah,
and that's a really good idea.
If he's got debris stuck in the downspout in the angle, it will clear it out.
then he can
spray the gutter down with a hose.
Great idea. Well,
thanks, Jim. We appreciate it. You know, I tried. I got one of those and hooked it onto my drill and tried to snake some pipes one time. Didn't work out all that well. I got to be honest.
That?
It flew off the drill and it got all tangled up. It was like a Three Stooges movie.
They can work. They can work well.
Not with me. Let's go to Brian in Indian Lake. Brian, you're on. Hey, Brian, you got to turn down the old radio. Hello.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you're on there, man. Go.
I have two suggestions.
Okay.
The lady with the animals in her house, number one.
Yeah.
I think they might be squirrels if she has a lot of pine trees around.
Squirrels in the house?
And number two. Sure.
Oh, okay.
And number two, the person with the clogged gutters.
Yeah.
They make a product called Drain King, which you put on the end of a hose, which produces a lot of pressure. And that would probably clean the gutter, too.
Okay.
You could put it in the bottom.
I don't know if
it won't
produce any more pressure than what's in the hose. The hose, throughout the hose, this is kind of like a fluids tutorial, but pressure doesn't increase, but what the velocity out the end of the pipe might increase and might penetrate a hole. But
it works very well on clogged sewer pipes. I know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thanks, Brian. Appreciate the call.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Squirrels inside a house, that would not be good. They make a lot of noise, though. Had them in my shed one time, and every time I opened the door, I heard them skittering around.
Were they red squirrels or gray squirrels?
You know, I don't know. Do they taste different?
I haven't tasted red squirrels, but when I grew up, I grew up in the hillbilly country.
Yeah.
We ate squirrels.
Yeah, they're not bad, right?
They're not bad. You cook them long enough. The little red squirrels or the flying squirrels, they can be a real problem in a house. I mean, they chew a lot. I mean, the gray squirrels are my friends. I let them hang around the house, and they don't chew wires, but the red squirrels or the flying squirrels, they'll get in everywhere, and they're very Dennis the Menace-like mischievous.
So you let squirrels, you like Dr. Doolittle? You let the squirrels?
Well, you know, they come for the bird feeder, and, you know, I let them eat bird feed.
But not in the house.
No.
Okay.
Not in the house.
All right, fair enough, because that's what it sounded like.
Oh, okay.
All right, Darren Tracy's here. Dr. Doolittle's with us. Tina in Stormville. Tina, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks. I had bought some paint that I had custom colored for my room, but I bought it about 4 years ago, and I haven't opened it since I bought it and had it colored. And the question is, can I still use it, or do I have to start over?
I think you can still use it if it has not frozen, if you haven't kept it in the garage or a barn. Has it frozen?
No, I've kept it in my basement, which is marginally insulated, but it's never gone below freezing.
No, I think you're good. Often a manufacturer will print a shelf life on the directions, but I've found if... the materials have not been exposed to freezing temperatures, they'll far exceed the shelf life that the manufacturer puts on them. So you should be good to go.
Come in who said, well, I had a painter who come in and said, you know, the exact opposite, but I wasn't sure whether he was trying to sell me more paint or whether it was a legitimate concern.
I think you're good to go. Open it up, and the solids will have settled to the bottom, and if you use a power drill with a paint stirrer on it, to mix it back up, I think you'll probably be good to go. You can also give it a little whiff test, and if it doesn't smell too ammonia-like, if it smells like paint, you're probably good to go.
So when it breaks down, it smells like ammonia?
Some paint does, yeah.
All right. Well, Tina, thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy is here. He runs the gamut from old ammonia paint to squirrels in the house. And let's go to Debbie and Troy. Debbie, you're on.
Hi. I'm a landlord, and I've dealt with a lot of mice, and I find what kills them or gets rid of them if you wash their trails with peppermint-scented soap and leave bounce dryer sheets around, they disappear.
Oh, wow. You know, I've heard of tricks like that, but I always thought that they're an old wives' tale. But if they work, that's great.
It works great. I have a building that's right next to the Hudson River, and millions of mice. And they just, once you do that, you have to wash where their trails are. And then you stuff the bounce sheets everywhere. It doesn't hurt anything. It's not poison.
I would like to know the science behind that.
The science behind that? I'm not sure about the bounce dryer sheets, but I know organic pest control companies will use a lot of peppermint oil-based things, and it seems to work.
I can understand the peppermint more because it's
stringent. Well, the peppermint gets rid of their scent, and they just don't like the bounce sheets. I don't know.
Interesting. Well, thanks, Debbie. We appreciate that one. Our number is 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy, our guest today, and over to line 8, and Doug is on. Doug.
Oh, hi, Ray and Darren, is it?
Yep. Yes.
A suggestion. I guess we're supposed to be asking questions, but I've been a landlord for a long time, and an offer here for a real, real major dollar savings with hot water heaters. It's so simple, it's ridiculous. Each of the 3 hot water heaters that I have, Ray, I go down every other month, put the hose on the spigot valve on the bottom and drain some water out, in this case into a sump pump hole or into a bucket. And I have hot water heaters that have gone as long as 20, 22 years because I drain that sludge off the bottom of the hot water.
Well, what do you think, Darren?
I think that's a good idea. I've not heard of that before.
And my water
gets rid of some of the mineral content in there. That's a good idea.
Yep.
It's not something that everybody
really
would do.
Water up there, you know, where I am in Saratoga, it's just the whole area over here, the private wells. But thought I'd offer that one, and thanks for the great show, Ray.
Thanks, Doug.
That's a good tip, and it's nice when we can get some tips from the callers.
That's beautiful. And, you know, another thing about the water heater is they say it's a 12-year, and do they ever last 12 years? Except for Doug's, obviously.
They can. What goes wrong with hot water heaters often is the element burns out, and that's a relatively easy fix. It's just typically there are 2 elements in the unit, and they're inserted into this vessel with a threaded nut, and you can back those off and replace the element. They're $10-$20, and it's pretty easy fix. But then when the whole unit rusts out, that's a big problem.
I've had that.
But I can understand Doug's point when he flushes out the minerals, and it would reduce the corrosion ability.
It makes sense for a landlord. I'm not sure it makes the labor makes sense for the average homeowner.
I mean,
he's got an investment.
You know, if you can double the life of your hot water tank, maybe not so much for a renter because they don't have the skin in the game. But if you're a homeowner and it's coming out of your wallet,
All right, you make a point. Let's go to James in Hudson. James, you're on.
Yeah, this is just a quick hint for someone who wants to use paint. I've learned this. I've been a painter on and off, some professionally and other kinds. And if you're going to store paint for any length of time, store it upside down. And if you're going to, it makes a self-seal. And if you're going to store it in a basement, it's probably better to put some plastic under it so it doesn't rust out.
Okay. What's your opinion about an unopened can of paint? How long could you?
It should be good. I mean, I wouldn't say 10 years, but I would say you could probably a couple of years.
Yeah. She had 4 years.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking if it was unopened, there's a good possibility that it would be a usable product.
It should
product.
Still be good. Right. Yep.
Well, thanks, James. We appreciate that one. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Trying to see who's been here longest. Well, let's try Cynthia. It says North Carolina. Cynthia, are you in North Carolina?
I am, and I listen to your program pretty regularly, and I really enjoy it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being here.
So I have an old house, about 90 years old. It's got asbestos siding, the shingles. And I know asbestos is dangerous. I don't know how dangerous these are, but I have a piece that's broken off, and I need to cut a piece to replace it. What precautions do I need to take?
If just a little bit of information about that siding, that is actually a good product for siding material.
Really?
It was used a lot. It lasts a long time, and it is safe in one piece. I think the term that is used in the industry is non-friable. But when you cut that, particularly with a rotating blade, you create dust and you create the friability of the product. And you know that's the unsafe part where it can get in your lungs. I think a homeowner can undertake those repairs fairly safely if they take a few precautions. Earlier I mentioned the N100 dust mask respirator. If you use that would be helpful. I would spray the substrate with a mist of water, hose it down while you're cutting, either if you're using snips or pliers or a rotating saw of some sort. Spray it before cutting and maybe even spray it while you're cutting to minimize the dust, and I think you'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And where are you in North Carolina? Because I lived there for 2 years. And
I'm in Highlands up in the mountains.
Where is that, near Asheville or...?
About 2 hours from Asheville.
2 hours.
Further west.
Yeah, it's a really nice state. And
thank you. Love it.
Yeah.
Long time here. I love it, love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your help. I'll do
you're
that.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much. Go ahead.
You want to... I was just going to say, do you have a replacement piece of the siding material?
She left us.
Yeah.
Well, let's assume
she
did.
A barn full of this stuff.
Oh. All right, let's take a break. Darren Tracy is our guest. 800-348-2551, the telephone number. We'll be right back in the home stretch straight ahead.
Support for WMT comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York. Specializing in wine and craft spirits for more than 15 years, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins, holiday gift sets in stock now, grapesandgrainswine.com. Department of Theater Arts, SUNY New Paltz, presenting Avenue Q, a bawdy musical following the people, puppets, pranks of a precocious neighborhood, April 19th through 29th, newpaltz.edu/theater. Dr. Brian Strickler at Schenectady Eye Surgery Associates, offering comprehensive eye care, including advanced technology cataract surgery, SchenectadyEyeSurgery.com. Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, a plastic surgeon dedicated to aesthetic cosmetic surgery, cool sculpting treatment, and laser and skin care since 1996. A surgeon's hands, a woman's touch, CAPEKPlasticSurgery.com. And Alarms of Berkshire County, offering full-service residential and commercial security and life safety monitored systems based on individual or corporate needs for over 35 years. AlarmsofBerkshireCounty.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here with you. And Darren Tracy is our guest today, and he answers your home maintenance, repair, and improvement questions. And Darren, before we get back to the phones, let's do a few emails. This one came in from Josh. I have a gabled metal roof. I'm having trouble sealing the valley due to the ridges in the metal roof. Is there a product that is used to seal the ridges? Also, was looking for a very wide metal valley flashing. I couldn't find anything wider than a couple of feet. Does wider flashing exist? All right, first, a product that seals the ridges. Second, a wider flashing.
I wish I had him on the phone because I don't totally understand the question why you'd want to seal the ridges of the roof. But regarding the valley flashing, if 2 feet wide, that's a wide valley flashing. You install that underneath the roofing. What you could do is install an ice and water shield further up the valley, which would act as a flashing material.
All right. This one is from Robert. We have a new roof due this spring. Will the gutters survive the process? They've been removed and reapplied for siding work previously, or should we bite the bullet and install new? And that's from Robert in the town of Wright.
You should be able to re-roof without replacing the gutters. The gutters are typically fashioned to the fascia, which is the vertical board at the edge of the eaves.
Mm-hmm.
And the drip edge, which is part of the roofing system, is attached to the roof sheathing, and it's not part of the gutters. So if the roofer is careful, you should be able to keep those gutters in place and remain intact.
All right, this one is from Jeremy, and then we'll go back to the phones. We own a home, old home, from 1896. Absolutely love it with all of its quirks. As usual, with a home of this age, due to settling, nothing is plumb and square in the house, which we don't mind. However, we do need to do some resupporting of the floors to help alleviate a little bounce and some sagging in places. We have an unfinished dirt basement and stone foundation. How might one go about figuring out which places in the floor to resupport in order to effectively get rid of some of the sagging? And can this be done with a dirt basement by pouring footings, or is it just going to settle again? Also, if this was your house, would you leave this to the professionals or try to tackle it yourself? And that's from Jeremy.
There's a lot of information there, a lot of questions.
Depending upon
how handy you are, it's definitely within the realm of feasibility for a homeowner to tackle that. Just quickly, go mid-span of the flexible parts of the floor. Have somebody upstairs bouncing up and down, and you go downstairs in the basement and find out the areas that are flexing most. Typically, it would be a mid-span. Mm-hmm. And then you can install some posts, some steel basement posts. And for a footing, you can install simply some 4-inch thick concrete blocks. Just lay them on your dirt, and that will help out your floor a lot.
Okay.
That's the quick and dirty on that. I'm actually in the midst of making some videos on repairing old homes, and one of them is an inexpensive way to install a concrete floor in an old house basement.
Oh, neat.
And really improves the livability of an old house, because it, if you put plastic down before you install the concrete, it minimizes the amount of water vapor that's wicked up into the space and really makes it much more comfortable. So check my I didn't give you my website.
Go ahead.
WestBranchInc.com. Check that out, and in the near future, I'll have some links to how to improve old house basements.
Pretty fancy.
On a dime.
You'll be doing YouTube?
I'm going to put them on YouTube, too.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah.
Darren Tracy, into the 21st century you are, my friend. Let's go over to Priscilla in Pine Plains. Priscilla.
Hello. Hi. We have a house that's a little over 200 years old, and our living room has a problem in that we had 25 years ago a bookcase built in around two windows, so this beautifully framed two windows bookcase, but we did not back the bookcase. Therefore, the shelves that are not movable are attached to the wall, but it's the old plaster walls. And what we found in keeping books on these shelves is there's just a little bit of dampness that can come through that wall. It has, well-painted cedar siding on the outside, but there's no real vapor barrier. My question is, we're repainting the bookcases, taking everything off. What can we do to seal the wall and maybe put something on, like, can we put Tyvek internally in the bookcases and then maybe seal it with some kind of a foam core product?
Okay.
That
okay.
might be paintable? That's
okay.
my question.
All right. You could install Tyvek, but it's not going to help you because Tyvek has these microscopic tiny holes in it that allows water vapor to move through. That's the purpose and beauty of Tyvek, and you want that on the outside of your house typically. What you can do, Priscilla, is just paint with latex paint. Latex paint can be a vapor barrier.
Well, years ago, before we put the bookcases up, it might have been an oil-based paint on that wall, but latex will actually seal it.
Latex paint is a vapor barrier. It has a low permeability rating, can be used. Now, moisture might be wicking in from other areas. It might be coming up from the floor. Is this an older home, like the last caller?
200 years.
200 years old.
1810. Yeah.
Do you have a dirt floor in your basement?
On that side of the house, we have not put concrete in, but
okay.
that
well,
room,
that's,
the living room, yeah.
That goes to my point of making living in an older house more comfortable by installing a vapor barrier on top of the dirt floor and keeping the moisture out.
Uh-huh.
Because it just wants to drive up through the home, and you get that musty smell, and it's not great for books. I mean, books are great.
Yeah.
You've ever smelled...
Well, we thought it was mostly just the back, that particular west wall that we were getting. I mean, it's not like it's musty or it just isn't sealed. And we thought maybe while we're doing it over, we could do something better. But the latex is great and simple.
Right, it's a great simple idea.
Latex paint, and I wanted to tell you that the other half of our house, the dining room area, we did 10 years ago pour a concrete basement with a plastic vapor seal underneath it. It made about 200% difference in the warmth of the room, in the moisture in the room. It was the worst problem because our stone basement was also leaking, and that has all been sealed as well.
Nice.
So for anybody, I give it 2 thumbs up to seal your basements for your old houses.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the confirmation of my idea. And by the way, you have a very pleasant-sounding voice.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe we'll get her a job on the station.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Priscilla. We appreciate it. Darren Tracy is here. And let's go to Nate in Grafton. Nate.
Yes, hello. I have a very old house. Also, I think you almost got to answering the question I was asking. Our house is possibly slightly out of plumb, and the upstairs doors, closet and bedroom doors are not quite closing straight anymore. They seem to be leaning a little bit. And I was wondering whether we could use jacks or some other adjustment to straighten the house slightly.
Okay, there are a couple of things you can try on that, Nate. And by the way, I like these old house questions.
Yeah.
I love old houses. Maybe we could dedicate a show to old houses sometime. A couple tricks, Nate. One thing is the hinge pins could be wearing out. So you could check those out and replace the hinge pins, and that'll tighten up the hinge itself and take away some of the sag. And also sometimes the screws in the hinges loosen up, particularly in the top. Sometimes they strip. Here's a little tip for you to repair a screw that's been stripped. You take the screw out, and I know they're difficult to get out when they're stripped, but get the screw out. Take a couple of toothpicks, shove them in the hole, break them in half, shove it in the hole, something to take up the volume, and then reinstall the screw, and voila, it'll tighten up. So that's a nice little
tidbit
trick for the day. Now, shy of that, if that doesn't work, then it's much easier than jacking up the house. You could do that, but could get into a huge project. You can just take the door off the hinges and plane off the bottom quarter inch of the door in the area that it's hitting. That would be the quick, simple fix.
Okay, I think we silenced Nate. Well, I hope that answered your question, Nate. We appreciate it. So you don't even use glue when you do that?
You can use glue, too.
I have done that so many times.
It's a great idea, isn't it?
Yeah, but I always put a little dab of Elmer's glue
in
it.
Sure, that helps. Yeah,
our guest today, Darren Tracy, and we have a few minutes left here, so let's take some more calls, and we go over to Merle in Argyle. Merle.
Hi, this is about bowls. No, I'm kidding. More questions about bowls.
Fair enough.
Hi, this is about venting an old house. In other words, I got a 150-year-old house, and we've done a lot of insulation in the attic, and I have a woodshed with a cathedral ceiling that I insulated, but there's like no venting.
Not good.
My question is, should I get an engineer and have him tell me how much venting I need, or just vent all the gutter space and the upper part of what's left of the upper part of the attic, which is only about 18 inches now?
Okay.
With all the insulation.
Okay, well, you're in luck because you've got an engineer here, and I will tell you, and it won't cost you anything.
Nice.
You need 1 square foot of ventilation area in the soffit and the ridge for every 150 square feet of your home.
When I open up the attic hole, I get a lot of air blowing up through where I'm standing when I go through the access hole into the attic space.
Well, what I'm suggesting is if you install a soffit vent in a ridge vent or even a gable vent on the end in the size that I stated, that should take care of that problem.
Oh, okay. All right, Merle, the phone line does not sound good. We're going to move on here. We have a 60-cycle hum on your phone, and it's a little loud. Let's go to Carrie in Albany. Carrie, you're on.
Hi, Hi. I just wanted to say that the peppermint is toxic to the mouse's liver. So I use it because I have a small bakery, an all-natural non-GMO bakery. And I do use peppermint spray, and it works. I don't have any mice. But you have to be careful around other pets because I think it could be toxic to their liver as well.
Huh. Well, who knew?
Thank you for that information.
Thanks, Carrie. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. Neil in Pine Bush. Neil, you're on.
Hi. I have a baseboard heater with hot oil, and my superstore, my hot water runs off of that. Now, I've heard a lot of people talk about hot water tanks and hot water heaters and how long they last. What's the lifespan on something like that?
It's that's a separate zone on the heat. I'll just explain briefly, if I have enough time, the difference between your hot water maker and a conventional electric hot water heater. A conventional electric hot water heater has heating elements in it, and those heat up and heat the water. The hot water maker that you are describing is serviced by your boiler. Your boiler heats up water, and there's a circulator that sends water over to this tank, and it just acts as a storage tank. Typically, they should be guaranteed in the neighborhood of 7 to 10 years. I know I had one fail and turned it over to the manufacturer, and they replaced it. I think it was in the 7-year range, and there was a 10-year warranty.
Yeah.
So they replaced it, no problem. Of course, you have to provide the labor.
12 years into this one. So
how many years?
12 years into this one. So
yeah,
I'm wondering how long I have.
Yeah.
Not long.
Well, and again, it depends on the chemistry of your water. And if you look on the unit, there'll probably be a warranty sticker on the unit.
Okay, Neil, thank you very much. Over to Kathleen in Springfield. Kathleen, you're on.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I'll try to be brief. I also have an unfinished basement with a dirt floor.
Oh, boy.
And I live on kind of the bottom of a very gradually sloping hill. So when I had the house inspected, the inspector told me, you're not going to be able to ever finish the basement because it does get water into it unless you install a curtain drain around the house. I looked into that. It would be extremely expensive because of my septic system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things would have to be diverted and stuff like that. So I'm wondering, if the house is near 100 years old, I'm sure there's been water in the basement almost the whole time. Is it safe for us, if we don't have mold in the house, to just seasonally let the basement fill with a little bit of water during, like, big melts and big rainstorms? And is there anything I should do, you know, to treat the cellar other than just letting it dry out in the summer on nice warm days? I'll open the hatch.
Well, what you can do is what I suggested earlier in the show, and that would be to install a polyethylene vapor barrier, 6 mil, on top of your dirt, even if you don't install concrete over it. And when I say install concrete, it doesn't have to be a professional concrete job. It can be just a couple of inches, called a mud slab, just enough to give you a surface to walk on and to hold the poly in place. And yes, that may flood out and get wet, but it'll dry out, or you can build a sump in the corner of your basement and pump it out. The beauty of having that vapor barrier in place is that for the rest of the year, it keeps moisture from wicking up from the earth.
All right, Kathleen, thank you very much. And very quickly, we only have a minute here. Anna in Altamont, you're on.
Yes, I have a house built in 1968 that is in a Swiss style, so the roof is pretty shallow, maybe about 20 degrees. And it's made of about 6-inch thick wood, the roof. And then on top of it, originally there had been some kind of tar paper and little white marble chips. About 20 years ago, I think it was replaced with rubber. And I am looking to replace it again because often when there's a lot of snow, big chunks of ice come crashing down and take down the gutters. And furthermore, in the summer, the rubber is black, and it makes the ceilings very hot.
Well, we've got about 15 seconds here, Anna, so what's the question?
Okay, so what to replace it with that will also be good as a base for solar?
Rubber. You had rubber on it, you can replace it with rubber.
Rubber would work.
And I would suggest adding insulation as well before you put the rubber down.
All right, Anna, that's it. You're the last one today. And Darren Tracy, well done, sir. Support comes from the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, partnering in preserving historic New York through advocacy, education, grants, and loans, so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, contact lenses, specialty sports eyewear, sunglasses, and eye exams since 1953. Sheehy Opticians.com. Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972, PelhamAuto.com. And HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting the musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, weekends April 21st through May 6th at Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. Thanks again to Darren Tracy for being here. Thank you for some great calls today, even the ones about voles. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Your phones are answered by Carol Lapani. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Bob Berman returns to field your astronomy-related questions. Ooh, that'll be fun. Right now, stand by for news.